If you're just tuning in, today we are talking about the human body and the two things that happen to it when we have symptoms or sickness. And this segment, I want to bring up a patient that came to us recently. This lady came to us with a few issues. I'm not gonna get into all of her problems. That's not the point of the story. But she came to us with some issues, and I basically, at the end of the visit, I laid out like, okay, here's a game plan. These are the things that we need to investigate because we don't know what's really causing your problems. Like, it could be these different things. And we went back and forth for a little bit, just talking and answering questions. And ultimately she was like, okay, well, I just want to do these two things. And I said, that's fine. You know, it's a great place to start. We'll start there and we'll move forward and we'll start working on solutions for the problems that we find. And when a few weeks later she comes in for her follow-up visit to go over all of her results, and I had a game plan all laid out, and I was like, okay, this is how we're going to do this. And then I'd already figured out, okay, these are the next steps that we need to take. And I walk into the room and sit down, and really before I could hardly get out pleasantries of, hey, how are you? It's good to see you again, et cetera, et cetera. She basically put her hands on the table and said, okay, here's the deal. I didn't realize how important all those other tests were. Since our last visit, I actually got a copy of your book. I read your whole book, and now I realize that I could be missing so many things. I want to do all of those tests, so I don't know if that's going to change what we do, but I want to do all those other tests before we actually go over, you know, everything. And I was like, okay, that changes things, because now we have possibilities of answers or finding out that, you know, there's actually a bigger problem out there that we need to address. And so, you know, basically, she didn't understand until she read our book, where we talk about, there's a chapter that we talk about, you know, do more testing. You can't have enough testing. You can't have enough data. You can't have enough information. And she basically was like, okay, now I have a better understanding. I don't know that I was prepared for the possibility that all these different things could be going wrong, that I could have multiple things happening. I thought I had one problem, so therefore I would have one solution. And so that literally changed our entire game plan. And, you know, we just started with some things that I was like, okay, well, these are things that we can work on that aren't really going to change regardless of what you have, you know, what these other things are. There's like two or three things that we can do. And when we got all the rest of our results, it was a complete game changer. We would have missed massive things that weren't ran at the very beginning. Now, would we have ran those eventually? Yeah, because she wouldn't have gotten completely better. But at what delay and at what time, you know, would it have been a year? Would it have been 2 years? I don't know. I can't answer that question. All I know is when she was like, okay, I've figured it out. I really want to go forward with all this. It changed her outcomes in the future.
Right. Well, and I mean, and some people would rather go slow, right? I mean,
exactly. Some people, it's way too much information at one time.
Yeah,
completely understand. And you know, that's it's kind of funny, because when you start going over this information, I'm like, okay, there's a lot that we have to cover, and we're just going over one test result, and they're like, okay, I'm overwhelmed, and I get it. It's overwhelming to learn.
Well, especially if you're doing, you know, like something like stool tests or just, you know, blood work. There's so much that, you know, we run just with blood labs. I mean, you know, like that you go to Quest or LabCorp for. But then when you get into, you know, like a functional medicine, just one functional medicine test, like a stool test gives you so much information. Food sensitivity test gives you so much information. You know, a lot of these other tests that we run, it is a lot.
or people run a metals test and they're like, wait, where am I getting exposed to this?
No, a lot.
That's a
great happens
question.
A lot. Yeah.
And invariably people go back, they test their water, they try to figure out if they have, you know, if there's something up with the pipes in their house, if they, you know, what's going on that's exposing me to these things.
And that's a, you know, a really good side note, is that it, you can have toxic metals in your system and not know where the exposures are coming from. And I am a good example of that. When I was first tested for toxic metals, mercury was off the chart. Like, you couldn't, like, it was higher than what they were able to test for. And I still don't know where I got it. You know, I mean, I right. still don't. You know, there's a question. Okay, well, you know, it could have been vaccinations. I have an MT at, wait, MT.
HFR.
HFR. So, I mean, you know, there's a genetic snip there. Like, I wasn't processing things out. I mean, there are things that we are, you know, curious about, but you don't. But I mean, other than that, with all the testing we did, we never figured it out.
The thermometers that she broke and ate as a child.
I mean, I drank some mercury. Yeah. But was that it? I don't know.
I doubt it.
Right. Probably not.
But that's true. Like, we're seeing unprecedented levels of metals in some people. We have seen metals in individuals recently that were high. Then we worked with them. Those metals went down, and now they're back, and they're higher than they were before. And this is a, like, we have to figure out where they're getting exposed, because they're getting exposed to, for us to knowingly see these levels reduce and then go back up above where they were. And in others, we're watching levels just drop off. Like, you know, we have one person in particular. Their mercury was really, really high. And we found out that her husband was eating sushi 3 times a week at least. Like, the levels that, you know, he didn't even think about. He's like, oh my gosh, I knew that. Like, I know that that's a possibility. I'm like, well, yeah.
Right. And it's certainly.
He cut out the sushi. Guess what? His metals started going down.
Yeah. I mean, and it's not always mercury. I mean, there's, you know, we find random ones.
Arsenic, cadmium, gadolinium.
But cesium. We've also had people who are, you know, who refuse to get out of the exposure. You know, like some that are exposed in their jobs and they're like, I am not willing to change jobs. Yep. And then we do what we can.
Yep, that's right. So. And some people, I mean, they make really good money doing what they do. Mm-hmm. And they're just like, you know what? This puts food on my table. What can we do to help decrease? And so we just work with that.
Yeah.
And we say, okay, well, we know you're going to be exposed. Let's just do everything we can to help you detoxify. And you'd be amazed at how low levels can become when someone is aware that it's present.
Right.
And they're working actively to decrease it.
But it's always important to have the knowledge.
Yeah.
You know?
It's always better to know.
Right. Because always. It can cause the most random problems. And if you're not testing for it, you just wouldn't know, you know, where all of these random symptoms are coming from.
Right. Right. And, you know, we don't know a lot of things. I was just talking with a new patient, 2 weeks ago, maybe. It wasn't very long ago. And I was asking questions about mold exposure and, you know, the water damage in any place that they lived or seen mold. And the guy was like, well, yeah, actually, I saw mold in an apartment that I lived in years ago. I was like, okay, well, we have some exposure. And then he was like, oh, yeah, and also I've got a lot of mold at my farmhouse. I was like, uh-oh, we need to investigate. He's like, yeah. He's like, I always kind of feel bad after I get out of that environment. And so, you know, it's one of those things like, is he going to get rid of his farmhouse? No. Is he going to take even more precautions now that we've brought this to light and we're saying, hey, look, some of these problems that you're dealing with, I mean, we might have exposure here. Yeah, he's going to take a little more precaution because once you know, you change things. Everyone does. People don't find information out and then say, and just turn a blind eye to it and say, well, I'm not going to do anything about that. That's not even human nature.
Well, and we talk about that, you know, even with like food sensitivities. After doing food sensitivity testing, sometimes people are saying, I'm not going to cut that out entirely, but they are going to think twice.
Yeah.
Every time they, you know, think about eating that food, they're going to say, and I really want it.
Yeah.
And that in itself can make a big difference.
That's exactly right. And if they're knowingly choosing to eat it, knowing that they're going to feel bad, that's different than walking through life saying, I don't know what's making me sick.
Yeah. I have no idea. It comes at random times and I don't know what's doing it.
Yeah. I mean, we've had some really bad food sensitivity results recently for someone. And, they even said it had been like 2 or 3 weeks since they had started their food sensitivity diet when I met with them and were talking about things. And they're like, yeah, I've already noticed this and this, and I've really only been able to cut out a few things because I have so many. They're already starting to say, and little things, little comments that they make, like, I just thought it was gluten. I had no idea that eggs were such a problem, but I've stopped eating eggs and these things have gone away. I'm not bloated all the time. My stomach doesn't hurt. I don't have crazy amounts of gas. Like, all these different things that they're telling me, I'm like, yeah. Now imagine 6 months from now when you've learned how to eat this way and you're able to decrease even more of these foods that you're sensitive to. It becomes easier over time. It's difficult at the very beginning because it's such a shock. But over time, it becomes much, much
easier. And it's difficult for everyone at the beginning.
Very difficult.
Yeah.
All right. We got to take another break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the things that that we can be missing that our body actually needs that can be contributing to us being sick. You're listening to Wellness Around Us. And the walls kept tumbling down in the city. And welcome back to the show, everyone. In the last segment, we were talking about having things in our system that we should not have there. We talked about metals and mycotoxins, and you know, we never really touched on toxic chemicals, but that's something. And we didn't really touch much on infections. But you know, there's a lot of them: Epstein-Barr infections, Lyme disease, et cetera, et cetera. In this segment, I really want to touch on the number two reason that humans get sick, and that is that we are missing things that we need. What I'm referring to here, and I tell everyone it's the big five of things that you're missing that your body needs: vitamins, minerals, amino acids or protein, fats, good quality fats, and hormones. Most hormone issues are deficiencies, not excess. There can be, you know, you have too much of some hormones that can cause problems. So, you know, save your comments for, oh my gosh, you could have too much of this. Yes, you can. But more often than not, chronic condition problems are driven by low hormones, not too much. So, let's talk a little bit about these five. Vitamins and minerals, I mean, all you have to do is watch a commercial. There's a vitamin company, I forget which one, where they cite a research study that shows that like 70-some percent, I'm off on the percentage, but a large percentage of Americans don't get their RDA of vitamins and minerals on a daily basis, which is why they're advertising their dietary supplement is just bringing people to have the awareness that, oh my gosh, I'm not getting all the vitamins and minerals I need. Well, no kidding.
Yeah. Well, a couple of things about that. First of all, if they're advertising on any, you know, major network, they're probably not providing it either.
Well, for the most part, that's relatively true.
But I mean, think about how, you know, the standard American diet, you're not getting any of the stuff you need.
No. Considering we eat 150 pounds of white flour and 150 pounds of sugar every single year per person.
Plus all of the things that are not food that are now included in our food means your requirement for the vitamins and minerals are so much higher.
That's right. There's the RDA. I just want to talk about this briefly. The RDA is the required amount of a nutrient to prevent you from having the disease associated with the deficiency of that nutrient. So vitamin C requirement of 60, 90 milligrams, whatever it is, per day, is what it takes for you to not have scurvy. That's the disease associated with having a vitamin C deficiency. It has nothing to do with optimal. If all you want to do is just be barely good enough to not have the disease associated with a vitamin or mineral deficiency, good luck. But if you want, no one wants that. Everyone wants to be optimal. Everyone wants to be the healthiest version of themselves they can be. You're not going to do that if all you're worried about is getting your RDA for a vitamin or mineral. There are optimal levels of nutrients that a person needs. I mean, the Linus Pauling Institute came out years ago and said that a human needs about 2,500 milligrams of vitamin C every single day of their life to be optimal. And if you miss it, you need more. Think about that. 2,500 milligrams-ish, it's not quite, it's 2,400 and change, I just don't remember the exact number off the top of my head. But 2,500 milligrams, that's the equivalent of 25 oranges every single day that you need to eat every day of your life to have the requirements to of vitamin C to have optimal levels of vitamin C.
But that's not what we're not told anywhere near that, right?
No,
I mean,
that's exactly
there are a lot of doctors that say you don't need supplements. Your body gets what you need from food. Supplements are a scam unless they're like prescribing vitamin D.
Yeah, let's prescribe a terrible form of vitamin D in a capsule or in a tablet that you can't actually break down and absorb.
But we have patients all the time that come in and they say, well, I was told that we don't really need that, that, you know, and we're like, okay, well, pretty much the opposite of that.
it's exactly the opposite of that. Yeah, unfortunately, you can't get this stuff from food. I mean, the soils are depleted. The food, if the food's not grown in nutrient-rich soil, how could it possibly ever have all of the nutrients that are in it in the proper quantities that are that we should be having? And then we have to, if we were able to get it all in food, say an orange had 2,500 milligrams of vitamin C in it. They don't, but let's just say, for example, that they do. We still have to rely on a healthy gut to be able to digest and absorb that. Then we have to rely on healthy cells to actually be able to utilize it. Another thing that I talk about with our patients is you don't get credit for what you consume. You don't get credit for what your body absorbs. You only get credit for what your body is actually able to utilize.
And how confident are you in your body's ability to do that?
I tell you, I am not confident in their body's ability to do that, because if I was confident in their body's ability to do that, they would not be in my office.
Well, and here's another thing. I mean, you know, we're extremely cautious with what we eat.
Yep.
And, you know, I mean, making sure that, you know, we know where things are grown, that, you know, it's all organic. We still are taking our supplements every day.
Yep.
You know, to make sure that it's going to fill in the holes. And even doing everything that we know to do correctly, you're still going to have issues just because of the world that we live in.
Right.
I mean, there's still exposure.
You're exposed. And when you're exposed to things, or you have things that your body shouldn't, that your body has that it should not have, it increases your need for certain nutrients. You can't process this stuff out. If you're asking your liver to detoxify a large load of junk that's in your system, you're going to need more nutrients to allow your liver to detoxify. It's like a factory. We can't ask a factory to increase production by 500% and not supply more raw materials. We will run out of raw materials. If we increase production by 500%, we're going to put more wear and tear on the machinery. We're probably going to break the machinery. And then we're going to run out of the raw materials significantly faster, probably 5 times faster.
Right.
I mean, that's just me doing, you know, basic doctor math. That's doctor math. You know, I'm no math wizard, but it just tells me that you're going to run out a little quicker. And the human body is no different. And we're not even getting into the idea of stress on a body that we put on ourselves with our daily thoughts. If we're overcome by, you know, thinking that we're not going to get through the day and we've got all these extra stresses, that's adding a level of nutrient need to our system.
And who doesn't have that at some point?
Everyone,
you know, I mean,
has it. Some people have it more than others.
I was going to say, and some people are living that every hour of every day.
Yeah. I mean, and then they throw the idea that they know that their body isn't as healthy as it could be. On top of that, they're literally adding gasoline onto the fire every day. A lot of them just are trying to block out the fact that, you know, this whole area of my life is falling apart, but right. I'm trying to survive.
Yeah.
Right? I feel for those individuals. I really do.
Right.
And so, you know, this is one of those things where we need so many different things. It's sad, really, that we, you know, live in probably the wealthiest country in the world. If not, we're pretty close. And we are as sick as a country as we really truly are. And how little people actually know about what it takes to be healthy.
Well, because we're constantly fighting against the information that's out there. I think it's not a lack of desire. I really don't think that it is. I think for some people, it's a lack of time. But the greatest problem is a lack of education. And the fact that not only do people not know what is necessary.
But the foundation of education is that corn oil and canola oil is okay for you.
Oh, I mean, right? Well, I mean, let's not even talk about, education. Recently, our kids went to a play date at their new preschool, and they were going to give the kids like flavor ice, I think, like popsicles. I'm like, they're like, what's the problem? That it's sugar? And I'm like, it's not sugar. It is high fructose corn syrup and toxins.
And chemicals.
Chemicals and that are banned in other countries. So, no. I mean, if it was sugar, I would still have an issue because you're giving it to them at 10 o'clock in the morning. But no, I mean, I was very nice about things. But
she was irate on the, I felt the,
don't give
I
my kids stuff. Don't give,
I,
just
I
don't
heard
feed
the
my
rage.
Kids. I don't get it.
All right. Well, basically, our body needs things. We need vitamins. We need minerals. We need proteins. We are a protein-deficient country. We need fats, good, high-quality animal fats, coconut oil, you know, these types of things. And we need much more in the line of hormone balance and hormone work, where our hormones are completely out of balance for the most part in this country. But when we got to take another break, when we come back, we're going to wrap up this whole thing and finish off strong with talking about the things that our body has that it shouldn't have and things that our body needs. You're listening to Wellness 101. And welcome back to the show, everyone. Aaron has had sufficient time to cool down from talking about the kids being given poison at their play date. it clearly that's a hot button topic for us, with, you know, making sure that our kids are, you know, getting the things that they need and learning what it means to eat healthy and eat properly in this country, and why it's so important for their health and well-being. We make it one of our missions. Aaron is you know, all over it, and it's kind of nice. I don't have to do a lot of work here. I just turn Aaron loose on it.
Well, I just think it's frustrating because so many people, if you say I don't want my kid to have this, are like rolling their eyes, like, okay, you're one of those crazy parents. I'm like, when did it become normal to feed your kids just sugar and, you know, like seed oils and toxins that like aren't even allowed in other countries? I mean, how did I become the crazy one in this scenario? But it's so commonplace that, you know, I mean, I had the same issue when they started dance class and they started giving them like a lollipop at yep. they get after and the for the first class I let it go. The second class they gave it to him again, and I sent an email and I was like, don't, please do not give my kids. I don't care what you do with the other kids, you know, you do, I'm not trying to dictate what you do with other kids. Please do not give them to my kids, because my daughter at the time was 2 and my son was 3. He knew well enough. He knew they weren't, you know, they brought them out both times and hadn't eaten them yet, but my daughter I mean, I can't trust that wrapper is going to come right off. And, you know, she just was still really little. And they were fine. They started giving stickers to all of the kids. And I'm like, well, but I don't know when it became normal to give other people's kids food. And maybe it always has been. It's just that I'm just entering into that realm because my kids are just getting old enough to be around, you know, other adults when I'm not there.
Right. Well, that's like I listen to parents talk about, you know, our kids aren't quite old enough to be doing, you know, soccer and baseball and all that. And then they're talking about it's their turn to take snacks for the kids. When I was a kid, we went to practice and we came home. We went to a game and we came home. There weren't snacks. Like, why do we have to feed our kids?
You know, our one friend was saying, yeah, that she's like, they didn't want the snacks that I brought because most of the snacks are terrible. And then they all get a Gatorade after practice. And I'm just thinking, what are we doing?
Yeah.
What? I mean, I don't.
I'd rather them drink water out of a hose than Gatorade. Oh, gosh. Well, you know, again, we digress. This is common. And what's interesting, just kind of piggyback on that, I can't tell you how many people come and they figure out, they're like, okay, so this is what's going on. This, and then they look at me and say things like, oh gosh, what can I do to help my kids? And I'm like, okay, how old are your kids? And it varies. You know, if their kids are, you know, 8, 9, 10, okay, there's some real life things that you can do because we live it. If their kids are 20, 25, I'm like, well, you can have them come and see us and,
you know, we can have the conversation.
At least have the conversation. Or the best thing you can do is just become the healthiest version of you possible and wait for them to start asking questions about what are you doing? How did you do that? How did you figure out this? And then you just start teaching them the things that you've learned through us and through our office. All we're trying to do is spread the knowledge. Tell them to listen to our show. Like, whatever you got to do, just start planting the seeds.
Right, because, our book or, you know, whatever. Yeah. But we have that come up a lot with parents of young kids where they say, well, I only have control when they're in my house. No, you're their parent. You have control all the time. You just have to not be worried about being the, difficult person.
just be an Aaron. It's okay.
And I had to get past that because I am usually I don't want to be a bother to anybody. I just kind of want to let things go, except in my job as an attorney, which I am kind of just the exact opposite. But I had to learn to do that, you know, to be okay with it with my kids. I mean, it was important enough to me that I'm gonna speak up.
I don't think a lot of you realize how much of a challenge it was to get Erin to actually do this show with me. Like, she did not want to do this. She's like, okay, but yeah, you're right. We do have to get the information out there. And she's now warmed up to it.
I'm an introvert.
Yeah, she's a very introverted person. But you know what? Like, the message still holds true. People out there are sick and suffering and they don't know why. And I figured out a way, and it wasn't my idea. I heard this from someone else. I'm not trying to say that I came up with these two things that are going wrong with someone, that, you know, you have something that you shouldn't, you're missing something that you need, but it makes so much sense. And I've got a platform that I can start spreading that even more. So let's just make it simple.
Yeah. Well, and I think that, you know, there are a lot of people that are not interested in this. They, you know, obviously there are tons of people out there, you know, we know them in our everyday life who just want a pill or like, I'll go to the specialist for this. Thank you very much. And that's fine. But there are so many people who want to do what is right for their bodies and they don't know what that is. And that's where we get frustrated.
I don't have the heart to tell them, you go to your specialist, your specialist is coming to us.
Right. We treat them actually because they know they don't know the body, overall, they don't know these things. That's not how they were trained. That always kind of makes me laugh when we were like, if people knew how many of those doctors are in our office or their families.
Or, yeah. Or calling us, you know.
Yeah.
And saying, hey, what do we do? How can we help this? I'm like, okay, we'll just do this.
Well, and during the pandemic, especially, we got all sorts of calls. And so I think, but to each their own, right? We're not in a position where we're trying to convince people who don't want this way of doing things, but we absolutely want to use our platform to educate people who are interested in doing what they can do to be healthy and for their families to be healthy.
Right. My job is not to convince you that this is a great way to go about taking care of your body. My job is just to talk to you about this way.
Yeah.
You have to convince yourself.
Right.
We're never going to force someone to change.
Right.
The change has already happened by the time someone comes to our office. When they're in my office, I'm like, okay, they're on board. They want to do this because they may not realize the gravity of what's actually going on, but they've at least made the step to say, okay, yeah, what I'm doing hasn't been working. I'm ready to do something different.
Right. And sometimes they're not ready to like fully jump in, but
nope.
You know, we're there to hold that space for you when you reach the point where you are.
Yep.
You know, I mean.
Yeah. So, you know, just to kind of conclude this whole episode today, hey, if you are dealing with, you know, you think you're dealing with leaky gut, or if you think you're dealing with, you know, some sort of inflammation in your body or autoimmunity or, you know, adrenal fatigue, for lack of a better term, like start asking yourself, well, what if that's not actually the root of my problem? What if I actually have something that I shouldn't have, or I'm missing something that I need? What if we took this another step? What if we went a little bit further and investigated and figured out, okay, this is what's actually causing this. This is what drove these things. And what I'm feeling are just the signs and symptoms that my body has broken down. I just invite you to you know, potentially change your thought process, or, you know, ask yourself, is this possible? I think you'd be amazed at what can happen. That's about all the time that we've got for today. If you would like more information, please visit our website, inhstl.com. Call us, you know, 314-293-8123. Shoot us an email, info@inhstl.com. Follow us on, you know, Instagram, Facebook, etc. You know, we're trying to get as much information out there as possible. Tell all your friends about our show. Help us spread the word. But that's all the time we have for today. So for Aaron, I'm Dr. TJ. This has been Wellness 101. Thanks for listening. What you thought was your daddy was nothing but a
This is Wellness 101, brought to you by the Institute of Natural Health, your home for common sense, science-based healthcare. Here's your host, Dr. TJ Williams.
And welcome to the show, everyone. I am your host, Dr. TJ, and with me, as always, is Aaron.
Hi.
Today on the show, we're going to talk about some things that I feel like I talk about all the time at the clinic. And I don't know that we've actually done a show on this. And basically what we're going to get into today are the things that go wrong with the human body that actually cause us to be sick and have symptoms. I think that out there are a lot of people with the belief that, you know, one particular thing went wrong, which created all of my problems, or there's so many things that are going wrong that I don't know where to begin. And I think that a lot of people are just kind of at their wit's end thinking, okay, well, I've been to doctor after doctor after doctor after doctor, and no one has been able to help me. When in reality, it's maybe that people haven't been looking in the right spot. And this is one of the things that I say over and over and over to patients. Now, you're going to laugh at this. You're going to think that this is crazy, but this is gold. If you're going to take a note on today's episode, get it out because it's right here. Write this down. When a person is sick or having symptoms, there's only one of two things that is going on. One, our body has something that it should not have, or two, it is missing something that it needs. Now think about that for a second. I'm telling you that we can literally break down all human chronic conditions and problems to one of two things. Either we have something we should not have, or we're missing something that we need. Now, What do I mean by that? Well, let's talk about the first one, when we have something that we should not have. What I'm talking about here are things like toxic metals, toxic chemicals, mold exposure, which has led our bodies to create mycotoxins, infections. These are the type, and there's a laundry list of infections, but these are the types of things that we're talking about that a body should not have.
Well, when you say something the body should not have, there could be multiple things.
Oh, there could be right? a lot more. These are the big, these are big four yeah. that we're looking for. These are
but
things
you could have like four infections.
You could.
You know, or you could have an infection plus
metals. Chemicals.
Yeah.
Yep. You could absolutely have that. And I think that surprises a lot of people when we start investigating and they figure out that it's not one thing that's causing their problem. It's a pile of things.
Well, and I think especially if someone has gone to see a provider outside of conventional medicine, because they will find one thing maybe, and they'll say, well, this is all tied back to, you know,
leaky
heavy metals. And
they take it a step too, they don't go back a step far enough, in my opinion.
Right.
Right. So a lot of times, I can't tell you how many times people come in and they think to them, they think that they're like, okay, well, I've done some investigating. I'm pretty sure I have leaky gut. And I'm like, all right, you probably do. When people tell me that they have something, I believe them. I listen to them, and I believe they're right. But I have another question. And that question is, well, what's causing that? And then they look at me like I have three heads. They're like, what do you mean? That my problem is leaky gut. I'm like, well, no, that's what you have going on. And I believe that you have that going on based on all your symptoms.
What caused the leaky gut?
But what actually drove the leaky gut? What caused the leaky gut? And then sometimes they'll be like, well, inflammation. I'm like, well, that's a result of the leaky gut, or maybe that caused leaky gut, but what drove the inflammation?
So this kind of goes back to the whole peeling the onion, right? Like you just keep peeling it back, like, well, did this cause this, or did this
yes.
cause this? And you until you get down to... basically, no more symptoms, right?
Basically, yes. I look at it as we have a person that comes to us and we're all exposed. I mean, we all live on the same planet. We all live in the same country. We all, you know, we're all exposed to things. I mean, our lovely government has okayed all of these different chemicals and things to be safe for land, air, and water. And we don't know what happens when we have a ton of exposure to these things. We don't know what happens, you know, when we have exposure for 30, 40 years. We're just starting to learn the dangers of things. I mean, we just started having things pop up with some of these, you know, widely used chemicals where people are starting to say, well, wait a minute, maybe that's not so safe for us. Maybe that's actually not good for us. And ultimately, in this country, it's not about whether or not we're exposed. We're all exposed. It's about our body's ability to get rid of what we're exposed to. Now, yes, we can limit exposure. We can do things to help our bodies limit or help ourselves limit exposure, but we can't limit all exposure. But we can work on our body to say, okay, let's make sure that our body is optimized to be able to get rid of things, right? So that leads me right into the other point. And we're going to have to come back. We're still going to talk about having something that we should not have. But that leads us into we're missing something that we need, because if our body can't get rid of it, what are we missing that's stopping our body from being able to get rid of things? Like these two, when I say this to patients, they're like, well, okay, well, I have something. And I'm like, yes, you do. But the likelihood is you're also missing something that you need. There's only really two things that are going on, but they're almost always both going on. Not everyone is completely optimized in absolutely everything that the body needs.
Well, so, and I'm trying to put this, you know, like from a practical standpoint, is this similar to what we talk about? Like if you have autoimmunity, you need to stop eating gluten. But stopping eating gluten is not in itself going to fix.
It's not the end all be all.
Yeah. You're still going to have to heal the damage that the gluten has caused. And that it goes back to the body needing something that it doesn't have. Right.
And not only that, you're also going to have to fix the damage that the autoimmunity has caused. Because one autoimmune condition will trigger another, which will trigger another. The immune system starts to break down. It just breaks down all over the place, right? Just because you have one autoimmune condition, you probably have two. You may not. Maybe early enough that you may not.
But
that
usually,
happens.
I mean, so this, it's kind of one is going to cause the other. We don't know necessarily, like, either, you know, where did it start? It's like a chicken and the egg thing. Like, did it Correct. Start with the fact that you were missing something you needed, or that you had something like an infection that you, but that wasn't supposed to be here? And Correct. It doesn't really matter, right? Because you got to fix
matter.
All of it anyway.
You got to fix the whole body all at one time. And that's another stumbling block that I think a lot of people have, is they think, oh, well, I have this one thing. Let's work on this one thing. And I'm like, well, that works if that's the only problem. If we're only working on a toxic metal, okay, what if you got seven? Like, do you want me to just try to pull out lead, or do you want to just try to get mercury, or do you want to just try to detoxify them all?
Right. Well, and so here's an example that I know, you know, we've dealt with recently is, you know, someone comes in and says, I have diverticulitis.
Yep.
They want to focus on the diverticulitis
right.
because that's causing the symptoms, right? I
right.
mean, the most pressing symptoms. And if you go to conventional medicine, they will send you to someone to treat the diverticulitis, right?
Correct. They're going to decrease the inflammation and then, you know, probably just tell you to increase fiber intake and that'll be that.
Until you need surgery or something.
Correct. Until we have to take it out.
Right. But functional medicine doesn't focus directly on the diverticulitis, right?
Right. We have to figure out what caused it.
Yeah.
So a lot of times diverticulitis can be caused by infections. It can be caused by...
well, certainly inflammation, right?
It is inflammation. But also, the other thing is, like, a lot of times in our practice, with my exposure to patients, it actually comes back to hormonal dysfunctions. And I know everyone's like, oh my gosh, here we go back to hormones. Well, hormones regulate so many different things in the body. And with diverticulitis in particular, we have to ask the question, did this person have some slow transit time? Is it possible that this person has thyroid dysfunction? Is it possible that low thyroid function has created, you know, some sort of low level of constipation, and then we have all this stuff just sitting in the colon creating problems? We have to start asking those questions. And a lot of people don't tie those things together, thinking that thyroid function could have anything to do with gut. But a lot of people think that having one bowel movement a day is what they should have, when in reality, they should probably have two or three.
Well, and I think this goes back to the fact that people, you know, tend to have one of two reactions when they hear these things. Either they say, oh, okay, if there are other things wrong, I want to fix what's wrong. Or they look at it like, I didn't come to you for that.
Right.
I didn't come to you for hormones. I came to you for diverticulitis.
Right.
So
how do you know anything about hormones? We get that too.
Right. And so they look at it. And this is where I think some people look at functional medicine like, well, they're just looking for problems. But from the functional medicine perspective, you can't fix something unless you get to what the root is that's causing it.
We're actually looking for solutions.
Yeah.
And unfortunately,
actual solutions.
Yeah, actual solutions. And unfortunately, until you know all of the things that are causing the problems, you don't know what solution to give. I mean, you take your car to the mechanic. Do you walk into the mechanic and say, hey, my car's making some noises. Can you fix it? And then the mechanic looks at you and says, well, where's the car? Oh, I left it at home. Like, it's the same type of concept. Like, how in the world is a mechanic going to fix a car that they haven't ran diagnostics on, that they haven't looked under the hood, that they haven't done anything to, and they're just like, oh, well, you know, it's not here. Same type of concept when people come in and they're like, well, these are my symptoms. What do you mean you have to test? What do you mean you have to look for things? What you my doctor's already ran a bunch of tests. Well, your doctor ran two tests and they didn't even have anything to do with the condition that you're coming to me about. Yeah, let that sink in for a second. It's kind of crazy what conventional medicine is passing off as a solution when there's really no solution offered because they never actually tried to get to the problem. What they offered was a Band-Aid for a massive problem. We've got so much more to talk about. We'll be back right after this.